Good evening and welcome everyone to this regular meeting of the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency for February 6, 2024. And with that, I'd like to call the meeting to order and move to item 2, Pledge of Allegiance, and ask Director Cooper if he would kindly stand and lead us in the pledge tonight.
Raise your hand with your heart.
Yeah. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I have a few announcements to make for tonight's meeting. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency's Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the board using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. In the event there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public, using either the call-in option or internet-based service, this meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. The remote participation option is being provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend in person. We do have members of the public present, so I would remind those who wish to make public comment, there are public comment cards in the lobby to help facilitate the process. The procedures for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. Staff will present. I will ask for public comments. I will then ask for discussion and questions from board members. Please raise your hand if you have a question. Once concluded, I will ask for a motion and a second. After any further discussion, the board secretary will call for roll call votes. All directors are present for tonight's meeting, with the exception of Director Cully. We will now continue the meeting agenda and move to item 3, public comments. Members of the public may comment as to items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency that are not on the agenda at this time. We ask that members of the public wishing to comment on items that are listed on this agenda do so at the time each item is considered. Members of the public wishing to comment on items covered in closed session before they are considered by the board must request to make comment at the commencement of the meeting at 6 p.m. Are there any members of the public who wish to make public comment under item 3, Madam Secretary?
There is not.
Very good. We can move to item 4, approval of the agenda. I would ask the board, are there any changes to the February 6, 2024 board agenda from the board? Seeing none, the agenda is hereby approved, and we can move to item 5, consent calendar. Staff will be pulling item 5.2 to provide the board with an update. There are 4 items remaining on the consent calendar, items 5.1, 5.3, 5.4, and 5.5. Is there any public comment before we consider the consent calendar?
There is not.
Very good. I would entertain a motion for approval of the consent calendar, Director Cooper. Motion by Director Cooper. Is there a second? Second by Director Armitage. Madam Secretary, please call the roll for approval of the remaining consent calendar items.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
Vice President Ozahowski.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. The consent calendar is approved.
Thank you very much. We now will move to item 5.2. Pardon me. Approve adopting a resolution authorizing the general manager to execute an administrative services agreement between SCV Water Agency and the SCV GSA to provide administrative management and technical services. The presenter tonight is Mr. Rick Vergutz. Mr. Vergutz.
Thank you, President Martin. Good evening, directors. We asked for this item to be pulled from consent because Director Armitage noticed an error in attachment 2. And what I'd like to do is briefly describe that error, and then I can describe at a high level what this administrative services agreement is. Director Armitage noticed on page 22 of attachment 2, section 2.5, the very last sentence refers to a $100,000 threshold that would need to be pre-approved, and this would be for something like a consultant contract, would need to be pre-approved by the Groundwater Sustainability Agency. We should have, in this amended attachment 2, increased that value to $150,000 to be consistent with General Manager Stone's signature limit on these contracts. We modified the $150,000 in section 2.1.2. We just missed it in that section, and so we felt we should pull it off consent. And also include that in considering attachment 2, that you also consider this change that I just mentioned. So that's the backstory on why we sought to pull this from consent. And just a quick background of it. So this administrative services agreement is a tool that is used that essentially connects the governance of the Santa Clarita Valley Groundwater Sustainability Agency with resources to administer the GSA, develop the GSP, and now implement the GSP. So this agreement allows for SCB Water to hire consultants to spend its time. It identifies that member agencies contribute $20,000 each year. It identifies that SCB Water is entitled to reimbursements. It also identifies, and when I say entitled to reimbursements, we're really talking about grants. We've been successful with grants over the years. It also identifies that SCB Water may incur costs above and beyond what are reimbursable. The work that SCB Water is doing under the agreement is consistent with the agency's strategic plan. In early January, the Groundwater Sustainability Agency authorized the signature of the revised agreement. We did bring this to committee. Now we're seeking your board to authorize signature of this revised agreement. With this change that I mentioned earlier on section 2.5, providing your board authorizes this, what we would do just for the good of the order is also go back to the SCB GSA and ask them to also accept this change to section 2.5. So with that, that'll conclude my description, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Madam Secretary, do we have any public comment before we entertain questions?
We do not.
Very good. So thank you, Director Armitage, for picking up on this. Is there any further questions from the board on this minor change? All right. Thank you, Rick, for your presentation. And
you're welcome.
I would entertain a motion for approval of 5.2 as amended. Vice President Ozosky.
I'll motion to approve.
All right.
I'll second.
Motion by Vice President Ozosky and a second by Director Marks. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Vice President Ozosky.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item does pass, and that's resolution number SCV-405.
All right. Thank you, Board. Thank you, Director Armitage. We can now move on to item 6, action items for approval. We have two items under item 6. As I've done in the past, I would offer General Manager Stone, if you have any opening remarks about 6.1 before we go into it.
Thanks. Just I think we're going to have our team come up and present the results. As you know, at a prior meeting, the board authorized going out for an RFP for some improvements to the boardroom, and we have the results of that, as well as a few modifications that addressed comments in that discussion. So April, I think, is primed and ready to go.
Okay. Before you begin, Ms. Jacobs, let me just read the item. You approve 1, remodeling of the existing SCV Water boardroom, and 2, awarding a construction contract to BR Construction to complete the boardroom remodel. And by the way, there was an updated staff report that was emailed and posted to the website at each of our spots. And presenter tonight, as you've been told, is our board secretary, April Jacobs.
Good evening, board members, staff, and members of the public. Tonight, I'm here to present a request to the board to approve remodeling the existing SCV Water boardroom and award a construction contract to BR Builders. Next slide, please. On December 5th, 2023, staff requested the board of directors approve staff to go out for an RFP to remodel the existing boardroom. That night, the board approved staff to move forward on an RFP. Requests for proposals were posted on December 8th and 9th, 2023, in the Signal newspaper and on Planet Bids. Next slide, please. There was a mandatory walkthrough that was scheduled for December 14th, 2023. Proposals were then due on January 11th, 2024. And 7 contractors came for the mandatory walkthrough. Only 1 proposal was received, which was submitted by BR Builders. Next slide, please. Staff asked BR Builders to remove the HVAC system quote from the proposals due to staff wanting to use the agency's current contractor, MCOR, to complete the HVAC work. Staff then requested BR Builders to provide an updated proposal, one with the option of a laminate walls and the other with an option of drywall option. Next slide, please. So remodeling options. So option 1 was laminate. Looking at the 2 options, laminate walls are less versatile, more costly, and have a more formal look. Next slide, please. Option 2, which is drywall. Drywall is more cost effective, is a better price, is more versatile, and is aesthetically pleasing. Drywall can be painted and refreshed anytime the board/staff would like to give a new look to the room at a low cost and is easy to patch. The paneling for the doors and cabinets will match in whatever color we choose for the walls. And just a little note, staff went to the DCA office out in Sacramento to see the offices. They had just renovated themselves and so impressed by what we saw that we came back with some very good ideas to do for our boardroom, which was 1 with the drywall. Next slide, please. So proposals. So BR Builders submitted updated proposals, 1 with laminate wall paneling, which came in at $486,600, and the other with the drywall option, which came in at $458,500. Staff is recommending option 2 due to the cost and versatility of drywall. Next slide, please. So proposal exclusions. Permits, we're not anticipating any permit costs. Electrical upgrades, not anticipated, but won't know until construction begins. Furniture, which covers the chairs, conference room table, and window coverings. And then the HVAC unit that we talked about earlier. Next slide, please. So cost breakdown. So technology is $150,000, of which approximately $40,000 is for the additional closed session multi-purpose room. 12% contingency on the BR Builders contract. So the proposal came in at $458,500 with that 12% contingency of $55,020. The total is $513,520. Next slide, please. Furniture for the chairs, conference room table, and the window coverings is about $37,865. The HVAC unit is $32,000, or the HVAC part of the proposal is $32,000. So the total for the remodel is $733,385. For the public chairs, we are using the cooperative agreement, which is less than retail pricing, giving us a much better price. Next slide, please. So financial considerations. So this slide did change from the staff report that you received, the updated one. Everything was kind of mixed with technology under office improvements, but all of it is really under IT for the technology is $110,000. So the total impact on the fiscal year 2023-24 budget for the boardroom remodel project is $623,385. So again, the chart was updated to show that $110,000 for the technology upgrades. So again, it is not under office improvements. It's under technology. So project total costs would be $733,385, of which $623,385, although not specifically tagged for a boardroom model, is available under the capital improvements project budget under office improvements and would cover the remodel. The fiscal year 2023-24 budget for IT was previously approved and allocated for technology upgrades in the amount of $110,000. So IT again originally budgeted for $110,000 to upgrade the technology in the current boardroom. This cost was approved and allocated in the fiscal year 23-24 budget and will be used to upgrade the technology in this room regardless of how the board votes tonight. So a big hit to the budget is the technology upgrades. Staff is asking for an additional $40,000 for the AV needs that would be used primarily for that closed session multipurpose room. So only $40,000 is what is going against the remodel budget. Cost without that $110,000, which was already budgeted and approved and will be used this year for the boardroom technology improvements, brings the cost down for the boardroom remodel to $623,385. But for transparency purposes, it is included in the overall budget of $733,385. Again, the total impact on the fiscal year 2023-24 budget for the remodel is $623,385. Next slide, please. So changes from the last time we presented to the board. We had a couple of, we took everything that the board had said and we looked into those. So one of that was soundproofing, and Roland is here to address that.
Thank you, April. So that is right. In our last board meeting, one of the biggest questions was soundproofing. When we did the walkthrough with all the contractors, that was one of the main points that was asked to research the best products. BR Builders, you know, has provided an option, which is, you know, called, you know, Canoof insulation, better than any insulation that is used in any construction out there. One of their goals is, you know, to achieve a noise reduction coefficient of about, you know, 0.93. The standard is, you know, 1.0. So with that Canoof, you know, we're almost, you know, there, 0.93 plus or minus, you know, 0.03. And that will be used, you know, throughout the walls and the partition wall. It is thermal, it is, you know, fire resistant and water resistant. So it's one of the things that were kind of asked in the previous board meeting. And we believe that's going to be one of the best options, you know, to include in this project. Any questions?
Okay. Oh, thank you. Okay. So changes to the public seating. So we currently have 30 seats for the public and staff, but due to the space in the room, we realized that 30 chairs was not realistic for a permanent seating. There will be 26 chairs for public and staff, and if needed, additional chairs could be added. I will show you later in the presentation where those chairs would be placed. Okay, so the closed session multi-purpose room, conference room table. It was requested that staff look at a more oval, oblong-looking table so that all board members could see each other. Unfortunately, this table would have to be custom-made and would therefore be too expensive and not practical. So staff looked at several alternatives and chose a boat-shaped table, which is wide in the middle, 4.5 feet wide and 20 feet long, and gets more narrow as it tapers to the end with a seating of 16. It is also a better cost because it is not custom made. So the savings is about $5,700. And that little picture right there, that is the boat shape. So it's similar to that, not exact, but very close to that. It's bigger in the center and kind of tapers in at the end. Next slide, please. So Space for the board is 3 feet 6 inches. Each director has their own bottom partitions, which will give more separation between each director. So you'd be able to store your briefcases or your purses underneath your table. We'll have a little hook if need be for purses. Electrical outlets will be at each of the board spots as they are now, as well as a table for staff. We will be adding an accent wall to the room and may or may not have a divider as shown in the slide. It will depend on what colors we choose. The chairs you see in the rendering are not the chairs we will be purchasing, and the rendering here still shows the laminate walls. Next slide, please. So this is just another view of the boardroom looking from the back of the room to the front. Note that the table for staff is smaller with the same 3 feet 6 inches with the bottom partitions that the board has. And again, they'll have electrical outlets as well. Next slide, please. The closed session multipurpose room. Staff talked about 2 entry doors from the boardroom into the closed session multipurpose room, but decided that it would be best to just have the 1 entry door from this room into the next room to remain where we originally had requested, which is right near where Director Peterson is. So it would start about where Director Peterson is. This allows us to utilize the corner of the room, which is over here on this side, for a table that could be used for other purposes, such as handouts or miscellaneous items for meetings. Next slide, please. So this is where the door would be. So see the little arrow right there? That's where the door would be. And this is from looking from the back to the front towards the kitchen. And again, there's that boat shape kind of table, but it's the conference room table is not to specifications that you see. And will look a little different than what you see here, but it gives you a good idea of what it may look like. There's plenty of space in this room for 16 people, and additional chairs can be brought in if need be. Electrical outlets will be added to the table as well. Next slide, please. So this is an updated layout. And I wanted to point out, so when you look at this layout, see all the little triangles? All those little triangles are where I could bring in chairs for the public. We also have the overflow room of the multi-purpose room, closed session multi-purpose room, that additional staff or public would be able to go into that room and hear the board meeting if need be. But typically we don't have a room that's filled. There's only a few times during the year that maybe we would if we had a big item that comes up. But if we did, it would just be like what we have now. The overflow room is the discovery room. At least this time, or at least now, if we do the upgrade, then they'd have another room to go into, which is kind of nice. Staff could be in that room and the public would be out in this room. Let's see. And then again, you see the boat-shaped table giving us more space in that room. And we are making sure we are compliant. We will be in compliance with fire codes and egress. This room can be used, like I said, as an overflow room, just like we do with the discovery room. Next slide, please. So next steps. So if the board approves tonight, the general manager will execute a contract with BR Builders. Construction would start in March. Board meetings would temporarily be held at Pine Street. And Finance and Administration Committee meetings would temporarily be held at Summit. Construction would be approximately about 4 to 5 months. So BR Builders has completed several projects for the agency over the last few years. Staff finds BR Builders to be a thorough, competent, and responsible builder. Next slide, please. With that, staff recommends that the Board of Directors approve 1, remodeling the existing SCV Water Boardroom, and 2, direct the General Manager to enter into a construction contract in the amount not to exceed $513,520 to BR Builders to remodel the existing boardroom with a budget amount for the full project in amount not to exceed $733,385. Back to you, President Martin, for public comment.
No public comment at this time. No.
I was just curious that we 7 people walked through and we only got 1 page.
Correct.
Roland will address that. Yeah.
Yes. 7 contractors showed up for the walkthrough. what I can infer, and I made some context why, you know, they were not submitting bids. What I can only infer in the questions that were being asked during the walkthrough was, is this a DIR, prevailing wage? the type of insurances, and those, you know, were included in the RFP and the body of the RFP. Those questions were yes. The answers to those questions were yes. What I can only infer is that probably didn't have, you know, they were not meeting those, you know, requirements.
Okay. That, I was just curious. Mm-hmm. And our HVAC people are cheaper, better?
Our HVAC people are the ones that we currently use to manage, you know, any HVAC, you know, throughout the sites or the agency. And we think they're the competent ones.
Okay. Thank you. And then as far as seating, so the idea is that if there's too many people here, then staff would sit in the, I guess, in this room, right? In the small room?
That would be closed. Yeah, that would be the plan, is that additional, that we would move staff over first and then public, so that the public would have the main floor.
And just out of curiosity, the door was there or here?
It was right where your Director Peterson is, but a little further.
Like where Director Peterson actually is.
Probably about right, yeah, about there.
Okay.
Yeah, not exact, but yeah, about there.
Thank you.
Vice President Gutze.
Thank you. Question, what company is Roland with?
Roland is one of our employees.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I know you were involved in the initial discussion with the committee on this. Did you prepare the scope of work and RFP or help with it? It was prepared internally then?
It was prepared internally.
Okay. Right. Okay. Thank you. And then the layout, as far as access, like walking around chairs, I know there's some access, you mentioned fire code, but for disability, wheelchairs, things like that, do we have adequate access per code with the new layout?
We do, correct. Okay. And there were a few revisions, and we wanted to make sure that, you know, we're in compliance, you know, with building codes, ADA, mm-hmm. and things of that nature. So, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Correct.
Director Armitage.
Thank you. So you were saying there's going to be one door in the multipurpose room. Does that mean this door is no longer going to be available or?
No, no, that door will still be there. I was just referring to coming from the boardroom into the multipurpose room. Okay. So there'll be three doors still. Okay. You'll still have your door back here. And remember that door in that corner is going to become one door. And then we'll have the door in between the two rooms.
Okay. And
so
then
there'll be three.
That door back there still remains, correct?
That door will stay. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, let me just take this opportunity to thank you, April, and thank everyone who has helped you with this project, especially Bob, I think. And I've been supportive of this project from the beginning, and I know there was concerns about the cost, and I think you've done the best you can at whittling down the cost to a manageable level and still maintain the functionality of the new boardroom. I think the new boardroom will be a large improvement over what we have. It'll bring the public closer to the dais. It'll bring Matt and Steve closer to the dais. It'll make visibility easier. The audio will be better. We'll have a closed session room. I think it presents many of the advantages and brings us to a level that's compatible or consistent or comparable, I think, with our other agencies. When you see their boardrooms, you see that we have a boardroom that was set up for 15 directors on the first day of SCV Water by necessity. But we don't have 15 directors anymore. And so it's time that we remodel the boardroom to accommodate the 9 permanent director seats and bring the public closer and make for a more functional boardroom. So with that, I'd ask for a motion one way or the other. Vice President Ozahosky.
I'll motion to approve.
Pardon me?
I'll motion to move forward with this project, please.
Director Cooper.
Make a comment. When it sounds like we're remodeling the boardroom, does not look good. You know, how does that play what we're doing is improving space utilization in the existing room that we have by developing a multi-purpose training room and then reconfiguring the boardroom. So, I think when this hits the newspaper, which everything we do hits the newspaper, that if it just looks like we're remodeling the boardroom, doesn't sound good. So I think we ought to look at the way that's turned, because what we're doing is building a training room, a multi-purpose room, and improving the space utilization for the boardroom. Just a thought in how we present that.
Very good.
Yeah, just want to add to that too.
President.
So we went over this topic, these topics last time. This was brought to the board in order to approve to explore this possibility, and I believe that the staff did mention that this particular room does not get utilized because of its current setup. So with the remodel, although it costs what it costs, it does provide that multi-purpose room where the finance department and that uses this this building for their for their purposes, for their work, will be able to use this multi-purpose room for trainings, for conference rooms, along with other departments. So just to echo Director Cooper's comments, this particular room will be utilized more so than it is right now. That's why I motion to move forward with this project. Back to you, President Martin.
I missed it. Did you second it, by the way? Okay.
You can second it if you want to. I have a quick question. What happens to the old stuff?
What?
Sorry, April. You sat down.
No, sure. I shouldn't.
The old furniture that we have will be repurposed to other places in the agency. So it won't go to waste.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
And then some of it I'll be keeping Director for us.
Question. Are we still doing the gardening classes on monthly gardening classes?
We are still doing those, but they will not be held here.
Where will those be held?
They're at Pine Street.
Oh, they're already at Pine Street. Okay. But that was my only question.
Okay. Dr. Peterson.
I just wanted you can sit. I'm not going to ask you a question. I'll just make a comment. Going back to my history here at the Water Agency, conference room, part of the boardroom, was utilized a lot for meetings and for training exercises. And I know the staff misses that. And I think this reconfiguration of the boardroom will get that conference back and provide more protectivity for the staff involved and the outside people who come here. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Director Cooper. Okay, so we have a motion and a second for the reconfiguration of the boardroom. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
Vice President Ozahowski.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item does pass.
Thank you, April. And thank you all the staff that worked on this item. And thank you, Board, very much. Let's move on to item 6.2, select ratepayer advocate candidate and approve the general manager to enter into a contract with final candidate. Presenter tonight is Rochelle Patterson. Ms. Patterson.
Good evening. Just going to give a quick update, kind of what the process is. Also go over a little bit of what the ratepayer advocate policy is when we established what the role of the ratepayer advocate. So the requirements of SB 634. So the agency developed the rate setting process that includes an independent rate payer advocate function and is consistent with the agency act. And it's in section 14B through 14D, if you'd like to look at it. The board may also not eliminate the position before January 1st of 2023, which has already passed. On or after January 1st, 2023, the board of directors may eliminate the ratepayer advocate role with an affirmative vote of 4/5 of its membership. On and after January 1st, 2025, the board of directors may at any time dispense with the 4/5 vote by a majority vote of the members of the board. And also, just to go over a couple parts of that ratepayer advocate policy. So the ratepayer advocate is directed to work with staff and the Finance Administration Committee during the rate and fee setting process to analyze underlying assumptions and provide input. After a final draft of a rate and or fee report is completed, the ratepayer advocate will review the draft and provide the board and staff with an independent written analysis of the draft report within 60 days of the report being completed. The ratepayer advocate will further be available to assist the agency's communication manager with the development of plain language information about the proposal, about the proposed rates and or fees and FAQs. The ratepayer advocate will also post his or her analysis to the agency's website, as well as any other relevant information, and will be available to respond to ratepayer questions until the rates and or fees are finalized. So at the September 5th, 2023 regular board meeting, the board did adopt the revised rate setting process. And the process required the agency to solicit the services of a ratepayer advocate through a request for proposal and enter into a professional services agreement. The RFP was issued via Planet Bids on November 1st, 2023, and was due on December 13th of 2023. The RFP resulted in the agency receiving two responses, one from Raftellis, and their proposal is included in Attachment 1, and the other from the current ratepayer advocate, Robert D. Niehaus, and their proposal is Attachment 2. On January 22nd, 2024, the Finance Administration Committee interviewed both Raftellis and RDN representatives. The committee, comprised of four directors, was evenly split in the selection, resulting in a tie, and therefore was unable to make a recommendation to the board. The committee opted to bring the item for full board consideration at today's meeting, in which each candidate will present a 10-minute overview of their services. After board discussion, the final candidate will be chosen, and at that time, the board can direct the general manager to enter into that professional services contract. So that completes my report. I wanted to briefly introduce John Wright. He's the senior manager with Raftellis. He will do his 10-minute presentation. And then we have Ichiko Kido from RDN, who will go through her 10-minute presentation. And then it will be open to public comment and then director discussion.
Good evening. Thank you for having my firm back for this second interview. Lynn, go ahead to the next slide, please. So my name is John Wright, as Rochelle indicated. I am a senior manager with Raftellis. I'm based in the Temecula Murrieta area. And Raftellis basically has offices in Santa Barbara and Los Angeles, and my office in Riverside County. I've been with the firm 14 years. And prior to joining Raftellis, I was the manager of rate administration at Denver Water. And during our presentation in the first round of interviews with your finance committee, I think what Raftellis sought to emphasize is that we believe this ratepayer advocate role basically has three key components to it. One is, of course, providing technical advice to staff. as they conduct the rate study. And this technical advice would allow us to help staff achieve agency policy and financial objectives through the financial planning process, to allow staff to develop cost allocations, which would comply with the intent of Prop 218, and allow staff to develop rates that would comply with the intent of Prop 218. The second key area that we believe the ratepayer advocate needs to play is balancing the interests of the agency and your customers. And I think at its most simplistic, that comes down to the question of the magnitude of rate increases, for example, that are required in order to achieve specific financial or policy objectives and the appropriateness of that. And then finally, we see our role as being in writing the ratepayer advocate's report regarding staff and their cost of service study, in really helping to create an administrative record for this agency that will, in a very detailed way, document, very comprehensive way, document all of the underlying assumptions and methodologies in case there ever was litigation. Now, in terms of why we believe that you might consider Raftellis for your ratepayer advocate, is that we do believe, and it may be hubris on our part, but I don't believe it is, very exceptional technical knowledge. And our firm has done rate studies for well over 100 and maybe close to 200 California agencies. And we're very adept at doing long-term financial planning. We're very, very adept at doing complex cost allocations. And we're very adept at developing rate designs that best achieve our clients' pricing objectives within the context of the intent slash requirements of Prop 218. And just as an indication of our technical expertise, our firm has senior members of the staff, including myself, that have leadership positions in the American Water Works Association Rates and Charges Committee. One of our firm's members based in Denver is a former chair of the AWWA Rates and Charges Committee. I myself am a contributing author to the past two editions of Manual M1, which is sort of the Rosetta Stone for rate making. And then finally, I'm currently on the editorial committee, which is assisting the AWWA develop the content for the upcoming eighth edition of Manual M1. And we realize that there are many rate consulting firms that have excellent technical competency. We would like you to consider us as exceptional in that area. Next slide, please. Another reason that we believe that Raftellis can be of great assistance to your agency is that we have a very, very strong community outreach, or better put, a strategic communications expertise. And we actually have a service line within our consulting services that is a strategic communications. And we're finding that in virtually every rate study we do in California, building customer support for rate increases or major capital expenditures requires a communication component that goes hand in hand with our financial work. And then lastly, the last bullet, and my last slide is coming up, is that we feel we're really adept at making technical presentations. And so, for example, in my 25 plus years experience, I have made all sorts of technical presentations to all sorts of audiences, ranging from average customers who know nothing about what water utilities do, to board members, to technical staff. And we feel we're very adept at conveying complex financial planning and rate making concepts in a manner that any audience can understand. Last slide, please. Now, when we did our proposed consulting fee for this project, one of the things that we did is we assumed that Raftellis would be handling your community outreach, your customer outreach function on a turnkey basis, meaning that we would be handling everything associated with that. And what we've come to learn is that really what this agency is looking for is us to assist your public information officer and your communication staff in the public outreach process rather than doing everything. And so one of the things we've done is we have revised our pricing from what was originally in the proposal to have quite a bit less money in the communications public outreach process. And we've also made sure that we have money in our proposed budget for up to 18 on-site meetings that would take place with your various stakeholder groups, which was something that was specifically identified in your RFP. Our total price for that, and I can't see it here on my screen or up there, is approximately $135,000. And I think that's within $5 of the fee that was originally in our proposal. So we want to make sure that you feel comfortable that we have the budget to handle on-site meetings as specified in the RFP and as desired by the agency. That is my presentation. Thank you.
Is Jack in?
Yeah, I'm here, Ichiko. Okay. And good Hi. Evening, directors, and thanks for having us. We're kind of have a dual presentation here where I lead the first part and then Ichiko takes it over for the second half. So thanks again for having us. We're very excited to be here and for the opportunity to continue serving as your ratepayer advocate. My name is Jack Lyon. I'm a director at RDN, and I'm RDN's authorized representative for this opportunity. Next slide, please. So we are proposing one notable change to our project team structure. Ichiko Kido, who's in front of you here, will serve as your primary ratepayer advocate, and Anthony Lusky will now serve as the backup ratepayer advocate. Ichiko has 30 years of consulting experience and joined RDN in 2005. And many of you may recall Ichiko served as your ratepayer advocate during previous studies, the facility capacity fees in 2019 and the retail water rates, most notably in 2021. This change does not impact our cost proposal in any way. Next slide, please. So why RDN? I'd like to highlight a few reasons, and then I'll turn it over to Ichiko to kind of discuss how we've supported you in the past and how we'll hopefully cope continue to support you moving forward. So we are an experienced firm. We're celebrating 40 years and over 1,000 successful projects this year. And we're local. Our core team is headquartered in Santa Barbara, and Ichiko is based in Ventura, just an hour's drive from the agency. We have an exceptional track record with utility rate and fee studies. None of our rates or fees have been successfully challenged in court. And we believe we've been extremely successful serving as your ratepayer advocate for the past 4 years. And in a moment, Ichiko will highlight some of our accomplishments. We also understand the unique ratepayer advocate function or the mandate. On the one hand, we need to serve your ratepayers and at the pleasure of the board. And the primary function of doing so is to really determine the lowest possible financial impact for your ratepayers. On the other hand, we also help ensure that your agency's financial sufficiency and legal compliance needs are being met. Finally, we'll continue to be available and accessible to your customers and agency staff. Ichiko will be available to answer questions in person at all of your meetings. We'll set up something online on your website so that it directly links to over the phone and via email to Ichiko's inbox. And to kind of describe the details of that, how we've done that over the past 4 years, I'll now turn it over to Ichiko to highlight that. Thank you. Ichiko, take it away.
Yes, thank you, Jack. First, I would like to say it has been an honor to serve the ratepayers of SCV Water Agency over the past 4 years. During this time, we've gained a deep understanding of the unique characteristics of customers over across each four divisions, each of four divisions, as well as the future challenges they might hold. Now,
This was achieved by working very closely with the board and the agency staff and the direct engagement with customers as well. Now, despite of the occasional disagreements we had, it's crucial for us to remember that we all share a common goal. This is to ensure that agency remains financially healthy to maintain its infrastructure effectively, but without imposing customers' high fees. As advocates for the ratepayers, our mission is to ensure this balance is achieved by finding the lowest possible rates. We believe that our efforts during our tenure have contributed notably to this goal, particularly during the review of retail water rates. The agency originally concluded that the operating revenue needed to be increased 5.5% annually for the five-year study period. However, the disparities in rates across different divisions created a big challenge, with one division facing a much higher rate impact under the unified rates. After assessing the agency's reserve levels and financial condition, RDN recommended 0% of revenue increase for the first year of the five-year study period. Thankfully, Board of Directors agreed with our recommendation, which really helped ease the transition pain that we were experiencing at that time.
Can we get the next slide, please, just so everyone can see? Thank you.
Thank you. Another achievement we are proud of was establishing a direct communication link on the agency's website, enhancing the customers to reach out to us directly via email and phone. We diligently responded and ensured that every single question was addressed ahead of the Proposition 218 hearing. Being honest with you here, technical questions were easy to address, but there were instances where we could not offer the solutions that customers looked for. However, our work with the smaller water agencies in disadvantaged communities has shown us even a small rate increase can greatly affect some customers. In a time of rising prices like now, we learned that sometimes just listening and understanding the customer concerns and then extending our empathy was the most valuable support we could offer. Turning back to our technical contribution to mention, we refined the original construction cost calculation method in the facility capacity fee study developed by, originally developed by Raftellas in 2017. The agency originally escalated the construction costs using an annual rate of 2.2%, this through 2050. We recommended a different approach, to first calculate all the construction costs at their present value, and then adjust the fees each year based on the actual construction price index from Engineering News Record, known as ENR. This method not only addressed the issues of quickly increasing the construction cost in recent years, but also ensured equitability between the current and future developments. Next slide, please. Finally, we launched a rate calculator tool that everyone can use on the agency's website. This lets customers see what future rates will look like by entering their basic information. This is a straightforward way to address individual customer concerns. At the end of the day, this type of information is all the customers really look for. Predicting future challenges is difficult. But I can assure you that we are committed to finding the best possible solutions, just as we've always done over the last 4 years as your ratepayers advocate. We really look forward to continuing our relationship with the ratepayers of SCB Water Agency under the guidance of the Board of Directors. Thank you.
Michelle, does that complete the presentation? All right, very good. Do we have any public comment, Ms. Jacobs?
We do not.
Very good. Open it up for board discussion and questions, comments, possible motion. I see no. Director Armitage.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Keto, and thank you, Mr. Wright, for your presentations. I first want to say that I feel very strongly that the role of the ratepayer advocate is still a very important role to the board and to the public. So I hope this is something that the agency continues to offer for quite a long time, even though we have the option to, the board may have the option in the future to vote to no longer have it. I hope that never happens because I do feel like having that independent voice available to the public and to the board is very important. So we had some good discussion about this in Finance and Administration Committee meeting. And as Ms. Patterson said, we came to a tie. So I'm glad we're bringing this to the full board for full discussion. I just want to say I appreciated the information presented by both groups. I have appreciated the services that RDN has provided to us in the past. I ended up voting for RefTelus because, to me, ultimately, when it came down to looking at the experience and the technical training and skills of the staff, the teams that were going to be working with us, I felt that the background and training was stronger with the team with RefTelus. So just want explaining why I chose that way, and I continue to think that way. So thank you.
Vice President Ozahusky.
Dr. Peterson, not to put you on the spot here, but as the chair of the Finance Committee, can you give us a little bit background on what kind of discussions took place when this subject was?
I think Director Armitage did a good job of explaining
our
discussions that went on as far as the which was the favorable candidate here for us to recommend. We came to a deadlock because both of them are very qualified to do that job, to do the job that they're asked to do, to consult with the board on rates and future expenses. I think RDN has done a good job of doing that in the last 4 years. A ratepayer advocate is kind of a very unusual position, a consultant to a board, and it's really just, I can only think of our agency being the only one that has one in the public sector, that is, because ratepayer advocates are, of course, there's a whole division of in the PUC, which I was very familiar with in my time at the PUC utility thing. But it's a whole different dynamic that how this ratepayer advocate is vision. I think Director Gutzeit could also provide some insight and her thoughts about the process that we went through. But I'm still kind of in favor of RDN because of their previous experience here with the agency, also with experiences that I've seen and witnessed in Orange County when I was down there. So With that, any other questions you want to ask?
No, that'll do it. You know, thank you, Director Peterson, and thank you, Director Armitage, for providing that background. I do have a question for Ms. Peterson. On page 222 in the board packet, there is a response back from Raftellis on exceptions. Lots of strike-throughs, and in section 6, a requirement for holding insurance. Could you expand on that? And I mean, if that's a requirement and it's being completely crossed out, what kind of liabilities are we facing as an agency? And
so, yeah, we will work with legal. Some of those may not be able to be excluded. And then that would be a decision that Raftellis would need to make if they wanted to enter into a contract with the agency.
Understood. And it's my my assumption here that RDN has not excluded our language that that we've put forward for them on the contract terms and conditions. Is that right?
No, they haven't.
Okay. Thank you. And I believe Ms. Armitage had a comment. A response to my questions with Director Peterson.
I just wanted to make a clarifying addition to the statement that I made when I said that I felt the Raftellis team offered stronger training and experience. What I should have said is continue by saying in the kind of the world of accounting and economics. So I just wanted to complete that thought. Sorry. Okay. Thank you.
Back to you, President Martin.
All right. Vice President Gutzeit.
Yeah, I think the summaries so far have been accurate as to what we talked about. I will add a few that Director Colley, actually, in going back to the experience, did raise the issue of educational background, and there was a switch in our team leader back to Ms. Kaito. Kaito, sorry, I was going to say your first name. I know your first name, but because of that, because she has more financial experience than the project manager that we were assigned. So that was an issue that Director Colley had raised. Director Colley was also concerned about the hourly rates on Raftellis being higher. I myself came down in favor of RDN that evening. I'm sorry, not RDN. Thank you. Raftellis. Primarily because of qualifications and the communication aspect. I know our communication at SCV Water actually has gotten a lot more comprehensive and I think customer friendly than our communication was back when we started with RDN. I think this needs to be communicated well, and Raftellis clearly understands that. Just, I was writing a few pros and cons on my thoughts on this. I agree, they're both qualified, both capable. I liked our Raftellis's comment about the magnitude of financing necessary. When we talked about, and this was actually Director DePremio's idea with the merger, of having a ratepayer advocate, the idea was to help the board, who are not financial experts, understand if we are doing the right thing for our customers in terms of utility financing. It was not to necessarily assist the staff. It was more a peer review function to speak to the board and also speak to customers and say, you know, this is why most utilities do their rates like this. Or in our broad experience, this is how rates are set. We wanted that kind of input coming to the board because we felt that even at, you know, the F&A committee, which was much larger at the time, still had very limited financial experience. So the point about, you know, what is the magnitude of the rate increase? Is this normal? Is this appropriate? That is the, like, a key thought of why do we have a ratepayer advocate? Because we don't know sounds good to us. Maybe we have projects that we want to do, but I don't know what most utilities do in terms of reserves and amount of capital. So there would be experts to advise us. Raftellis did talk a lot about assisting staff while they're designing the rates. I believe RDN was more appropriate tonight in speaking about the ratepayer advocate role, and that it's really to speak to the board and customers. So we need to make sure whichever group goes forward that they know their role, that it's working for the board, not helping staff. I mean, they can work with staff, but this was designed to help the board and help ratepayers. The differences, also on the proposals, Raftellis had extensive ratepayer advocate experience listed in their proposal. RDN did not. In fact, they only had this agency and one other project that was a peer review of a rate study. So in terms of listing other ratepayer advocate jobs, Raftellis had more listed. I appreciated on the Raftellis side the understanding of the M1 manual. One thing I was disturbed about was how the Valencia retail capacity fee situation went down. In that, you know, we quoted the manual and then we changed our mind on that. I felt like if there was an outside person that worked in that field, at least we could have gotten some alternative ideas up front on that, rather than the ratepayer coming to us and saying we were wrong. I would have liked to be more prepared for that. So I'm thinking maybe a more broad experience with that might have helped. But lastly, I would say I did appreciate the individual outreach role that RDN did with the customers, being able to answer their questions. And I understand they were calling your personal phone. Yes. So that is exactly what I'm looking for. If there's a disgruntled customer that says, this is ridiculous, I can't believe that we're charging this, I want someone to be able to explain to them, you know, is this normal? Is this a good management practice? What do you get out of it? Or conversely, you know, maybe we should do things differently. Somebody to look at it from another view than our staff. So that's what this is for. Very last point, both costs are time and materials not to exceed. So in terms of comparing costs, I did clarify that they are both time and materials not to exceed. So depending on how much is asked of them, this, it's not a lump sum. That's all.
Director Cooper.
Thank you, President Martin. And I appreciate your presentations this evening. And we've done work with both firms over the years. We've had Raftellis help us with the facility capacity fees, I think, in past years, and in the last 4 years working with RDN. when we combined the water companies into one agency, and it was Director DePremio that came up. Of course, he worked for PUC-regulated utilities with the idea of getting a ratepayer advocate. And the idea of the ratepayer advocate was not to set rates for us, but to oversee what staff was doing in setting rates to assure the board that what we're doing is correct. And what I've seen in the last 4 years is that's exactly how RDN has taken this. I appreciated really the work that they did. In fact, I remember one of the meetings that you came and there was a disagreement between you and staff of what should be included in whatever it was. And it finally came back around to you. So you viewed this as working for the board, is that you were going to provide that information to us. And I really appreciated that. It wasn't just a working with staff and setting rates and you know, it's working with them, but you were there working for the board. And that's what it was designed to do. And I think RDN has done a good job for us the last 4 years. I like the work that they've done. I don't see a need to change at this point. I'm not sure where we're going with a ratepayer advocate in future years. I think there'll be a point where the board needs to decide how much value there is in that. It sounds good. The name was always a very poor name to start with. It's that's not exactly what it was should be as ratepayer advocate. But the board needs to decide at some point in the future whether we need that function anymore or not. We've gone through combining all the agencies. We've gone through some real issues with finance. We have a great finance officer that's working well and works well with RDN. And so my thoughts, my position would be, is to stay with RDN. I appreciate the work they've done.
Director Burlington.
Thank you so much. Excuse me. Thank you so much for your presentations. I purposely wasn't looking at your presentations when you were talking because I wanted to hear more what you were saying and how you were saying. I didn't want to get, you know, everyone can put up a nice show. It's usually like what they're saying or what they're not saying. I'll be honest. I came into this a little bit biased. I am a little bit not happy, to say the least, about the retail capacity fee that just happened, because I feel like that's the point of having experts on hand, is that they give us information and we can rely on the information. So that has been a little bit hard for me to personally get over, because I don't know finance like at all. Although I really did like your approach and the fact that sometimes you can just give somebody empathy and that's what they need to hear. At the same time, I think that we have a lot of big changes coming, and I think that we have some heavy lifting that's going to have to come down in the next few years. And I'm trying to look at this not only from my perspective right now as a board member looking for the future, but also as a member of the public and someone that this person is also going to represent me. So I am still kind of torn. I have to say, knowing that someone is part of the N1 manual, which seemed to be very confusing, seems to be a leg up to me personally. I would just want to make sure that we also do have that component there really for outreach and have the public, you know, at our forefront when we're thinking and making these decisions. So that's kind of how I feel about it. Thank you.
Director Marks.
The way I view this, we have two very qualified consultants here. They both have strengths. I think I'm more inclined to continue with our current consultant. I think staff has shown that they work well with them. They've worked well with the community. And I think that they can provide some efficiencies. So I'm inclined to continue with our current consultant.
Vice President Ozahowski.
I got to say, I've Director Bronstein, I mean, you bring up a good point. You know, the M1 discussion during the capacity fee component was was a lot of back and forth. But at the same time, you know, I think we had an opportunity where ideas were being presented and revised, and we went back and forth, and no one was really stubborn on a particular method. There was a open discussion on which way we should proceed. That's also very important too. You know, having that dialogue back and forth and being open to other viewpoints. Yes, being editor of M1 is good, but are we sure that that individual is responsible for that section in the manual? I don't have that information. One of my biggest concerns is the contract terms and conditions, with the required insurance sections being, you know, completely crossed out. And we have a ratepayer advocate that is familiar with our facilities, has worked with us before. That's definitely a leg up. I am inclined to favor RDN here because of the work they've done before. But I do understand Director Bronstein's and Vice President Kutzeit's concern. Well noted, and hopefully it's noted by RDN. Back to you, President Martin.
Very good. Thank you, Vice President Ozahowski. Vice President Kutzeit, go ahead.
I just want to have a wrap-up comment. I favored Raftellus, but I think, you know, going forward, what I'm looking for and what I hope, you know, whichever agency organization works with us going forward, I mean, I want to have someone be very proactive in communicating risks, red flags, concerns, potential liabilities to the board. You know, if we're marching down a road with one approach and there's alternative B and C, I want to know about it. And I also am looking at our outreach representative in the back that, you know, I want to make sure that we are both accessible to all types of ratepayers, whether it be business, individual homeowners, all the stakeholders in the Valley, about why we're doing this, what we're doing, and have some information. Is this typical? Is this normal? Or how are we compared to other agencies in the same boat? For instance, many people complain about our rates, but I understand we are actually one of the lowest in the LA area. You know, everybody knows what they know in their hometown, but I think we need to be receptive to concerns, but also communicate how we compare and why we're doing what we do, whoever we end up with. So that's all.
Very good. I think everyone's had a say. I'd like to add a few words to that. I've been very pleased with what RDN has done, especially I've enjoyed very much from my point of view, working with Ichiko. I think she's been very communicative, very easy to talk to, very clear in what she says. I am very supportive of the Ratepayer Advocate Program. I'm glad we're continuing it. And I think we should in the future. It shows that we are, but we have a definite concern for the ratepayers' interest in this. But I will make one observation. I'm supporting RDN, by the way, but I did want to make an observation. When I look at the job hours proposed, which equates to level of effort, in my view, RDN's hours are about 40%+ greater than Raftellus. Now, that may be argued that, well, we don't need that many hours. Maybe we're smarter than RDN, and we don't need that many hours. But to me, one professional organization working as compared to another professional organization, and I've had this experience in my past, that level of effort is a very important factor. And so by continuing on with RDN, we're going to get more job hours applied to the effort. And I can only believe that that's going to produce a more thorough job by the ratepayer advocate. And so that's an important factor to me. This is no disrespect, by the way, to Ref Tellis. I know you're a good consultant. We've worked with you in the past, and you've worked with many water agencies in California. But in my view, there's no justification at this point, not enough justification to make a change in our ratepayer advocate going forward. So I will be supporting RDM. And so at this point, I'll be looking for a motion. Director Cooper?
I'll make a motion that we accept the contract with RDM.
All right, do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Vice President Ozahowski. Comments? Oh, you're the chairman. You stole the chairman's thunder. Okay. All right. So, by the way, do we have any public comment? I get maybe I asked that earlier. I can't recall.
We don't have any public comment.
Very good. Unless there's any further comment or discussion, Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll for the motion that was made?
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
No.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
No.
Vice President Ozahowski.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item does pass.
Thank you for coming and joining us. Thank you for coming. All right, we can move on now to item 7, General Manager's Report on Activities, Projects, and Programs. Mr. Stone.
Yeah, I'd also like to thank both firms for being here tonight and helping the board make that decision. Thank you for coming. A couple of things to cover in tonight's General Manager's Report. Let's see, the last week in January, we had an opportunity, our entire executive staff, pretty much, as well as our financial advisors, made a presentation to EPA, kind of similar to what we do with rating agencies, for the WIFIA loan package. I think the presentation went well. Our team, thanks to Rochelle and others, was well prepared, and we actually finished in less than the amount of time allocated, which would indicate that we didn't leave them with too many questions. So that's just another step in that process, but it was good to get through that piece of it. Let's see, I think, I'm trying to remember who I had. I had one-on-one with Director Bronstein, I know, since my last report, and may have been Director Peterson, but I forgot to, it was so riveting, I forgot to look at my calendar while you were discussing the proposals. So it's tomorrow. Okay. I'm pre-reporting that. Thank you for that. Yeah. Also had an opportunity to, we had our all-employee meeting as well in on the 22nd of January. And a good opportunity to get together and review our kind of a partial culmination of our process of kind of looking at agency values. And we had sort of a multi-tiered process, I guess. We had departmental group meetings, and then we had a cross-functional, cross-organizational team get together with our facilitator, Ed Means, and kind of grind through some of the ideas that they had and winnow that down to a proposal. And then we had at our all-employee meeting, we had a kind of a station set up with each of the prospective values and a representative from that cross-functional team there to answer questions and whatnot. So like any of those processes, you know, if you've ever been an employee, it feels clunky and forced. And so we try our best, hopefully with a little forgiveness from our staff. But I think it came out okay. I am very, very comfortable with the set of values that they developed. And when we come back and present the strategic plan to the board, we'll have that input as well. So I think everything kind of tiers on where we started from our last plan, the input from the board, from the executive team, from the departments, from that cross-functional team, and then sort of a one final pass around with staff. And of course, the key is really now how do we embody those values going forward? So that's really the bigger measure. There's probably infinite ways one could state some very good and compelling values in an organization. There's probably no perfect way. The more perfect thing is how do we live up to them, you know, and particularly from a management standpoint, making sure that we're embodying those values, modeling those values. I think also, you know, from the standpoint of the board, I think the board generally does a pretty good job. We're all humans. We all try to conduct ourselves well and with one another. And that's really what it comes down to is how do we treat one another? How do we treat our customers? And to some degree, how do we treat ourselves? So moving on to the last piece, had an opportunity this past end of the week for our annual State Water Contractors Board retreat, where we try to have an intensive day and a half session. We actually have Ed Means as our facilitator for that. I should get residuals. He does a great job with that group. He's been working with our group for a number of years now and kind of knows the organization and its challenges and issues. And it's an opportunity for the board to really focus on the upcoming year and what's on our plate, what our key focus areas are, key challenges. They don't change that much from year to year, but sometimes the labels and the names of the processes change a little bit. So this year will be a lot of focus on continuing to hopefully move the voluntary agreements framework forward at the state board to provide hopefully a balanced program of actions and flows to meet the Delta water quality or the water quality standards that the board sets. There, you know, obviously water supply is an ongoing challenge and managing from wet years to dry and back. Some state water project financial management issues we're trying to work through and make sure that the project is well positioned for financial success and for good financial management. Energy was another big theme we talked about. Obviously, SB 1020, which passed a couple years ago, mandated that the state water project energy sources become 100% renewable by 2035, which is a little ahead of the state target. So there's ongoing challenges there with trying to make sure that the right projects and procurement processes are developed to successfully achieve that goal without, hopefully without any super shocking cost increases for the project and its ultimate customers. So that's kind of just a real quick run through, as well as a few administrative items and just getting a chance to talk a little bit strategically with our general manager, Jennifer Pierre. So it's good session. We were fortunate to have moderate rain Thursday and beautiful, clear, windy skies Friday for the drive back and got home before the real stuff hit. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stone.
Oh, and I apologize, Director or President Martin. I did want to congratulate April on her shepherding of the board. The boardroom space reconfiguration and maximization project. I thought the second round of presentations better. I thought maybe we should bring her back for one more run because it was really, you know, getting pretty good there. So thanks, April. Great job. And thank you to the support staff, Roland, Chris, everybody that worked on that project.
I will say she did an awful lot of research for her little project. So, my hat's off to her. So, by the way, do we have any public comment on Mr. Stone's presentation?
We do not.
Very good. We can move on to item, well, let me open it up to the board. Yet, any questions from the board on Matt's presentation? Director, Vice President Gusek.
I was going to email you at 10 or 11 tonight, but I'll just ask you now. For the renewable percentage on the state water project having to be 100% renewable energy source by 2035, where are they now? What
about 70%?
That's really good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Thanks. About half the project is energized by hydro, which for purposes of this mandate counts the existing hydro accounts. And then about 20% renewables now. So that's that remaining 30% that needs to be procured. And there's a pump storage, potential pump storage project for a portion of it. We were able to get amendments to legislation that would be permissive of behind the meter power generation so that we wouldn't have to go through the retail overlay for everything. And so that's one thing we're really wanting to explore. And then there's the state procurement process, which they just put a giant RFP out on the street for power. And we're all anxiously waiting to see if anybody responds. So hopefully it won't be like, you know, 7 walkthroughs in 1 bid.
No. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. We can now move on to item 10, President's report update on the following items outside of the agency conferences and events. The Urban Water Institute Spring Conference in Palm Springs will be February 21 to 23. The Aqua 2024 Spring Conference in Sacramento will be May 7th to May 9th. Please check your emails for future and additional events. Upcoming board meetings, regular board meeting in this room on, I think it'll be in this room, April. I'm not sure when we're going to be kicked out of here. But we'll just say for this boardroom, February 20th. At 6 p.m. and regular board meeting on March 5th at 6 p.m. If there's any changes, our board secretary will let us know. Upcoming committee meetings held at Summit Circle in the ESS boardroom at 5:30, the February 14th Water Resources and Watershed Committee, February 15th Public Outreach and Legislation Committee meeting, and the March 7th Engineering and Operations Committee meeting. Upcoming committee meetings in the Rio Vista boardroom, if it's still open by that time, the February 19th, 2024 Finance and Administration Committee meeting, I'm sure it'll be open then, was moved to February 26th. Additional information for the board, the agency will be closed on Monday, February 19th, in observance of President's Day. At each of your spots is your ethics training certificates of completion. Wear them proudly when you go home. There will be an SCD Water Agency Financing Corporation meeting that follows tonight's meeting. Directors Cooper, Gutzeit, Ozahoski, and myself, as well as Executive Director Stone, please do not leave when this meeting ends. That concludes my report. Are there any public comments?
There is not.
Are there any questions or comments from the board? Very good. Seeing none, we can move to item 11, AB 1234 reports. There was one report that was received from Vice President Gutzeit that was emailed, posted on the SCD Water website, each of our spots. Are there any AB 1234 reports tonight? Director Cooper, start on that side.
I have three quick ones. On January 19th, I was interviewed on KHTS radio. Morning show with Joe Messina, and they were interested in the agency's water storage programs and the things that we've done over the years to prepare for drought. So it's a very good program. February 1st and 2nd, February 1st in Sacramento for the Aqua Board Workshop, and then on February 2nd for the Aqua Board Meeting. And I don't know if we have need to tell you about the special board meeting on the 5th that we had for just a rousing training, 2-hour training session on ethics.
No, you don't.
No.
That okay. Was then. But
Director Armitage.
Director Cooper, before we move forward, the KHTS interview, was that at their offices?
It was virtual.
Virtual. Okay.
Yeah.
And both of the February 1st and 2nd were
in Sacramento. In Sacramento.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I participated in a meeting of the Executive Committee of the Special Districts Association of North LA County on January 17th virtually. And we discussed details about the next general membership meeting, which is on February 21st here in Santa Clarita with special guest speaker, Supervisor Catherine Barger. So hopefully we can get some of us there. That would be nice. And I think that's it. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. This side, Director, Vice President Ozahowski.
All right. On January 18th, I attended in person the SEV Chamber 2024 Employment Law Update. I'm happy to announce here that I've sent bullet points and copy of that presentation to Ms. Patterson. Our team is already on top of all the new changes. They've been implemented and on the way of being implemented. So thank you, Ms. Patterson, and your team for doing that. And on February 2nd, I attended the SEV Chamber Installation Dinner. And one important point, I had a chance to speak with the Acting Assistant Fire Chief Division 3. Our discussions involved how the water agency can help the fire department in the summer of fire season. So TBD on that one. That's it. Back to you, President Miller.
Good, this side. And the AB 1234 reports on this side. All right. I do have a couple, Madam Secretary. On January 24th, I attended the DCA board meeting in Sacramento. It was a special meeting in an off month. It was held to consider a few items in closed session, and also we considered a number of routine items, and we appointed a member of the board to be the legislative liaison for the DCA board, and that's Miguel Luna, who represent MET on the DCA board. And on February 2, I attended the Chamber Awards and Installation Dinner, and I refer you to Vice President Gutzeit's report, very good report. I don't have a lot to add to that other than it was good to see that Mr. Romero, or rather, what's his name? Orlando Marino. I got his name backwards. So Orlando was there and was inducted onto the chamber board. Very good to see local, our staff is participating in our local agencies. Chamber is a great organization, and I'm sure Orlando will do a great job. All right, that concludes my report. There are no further AB 1234 reports. Do we have any public comments on the AB 1234s?
We do not.
Very good. We move on to item 12, direct report. Are there any direct reports?
I have a question for the directors on Armitage.
Is this a director report?
No, before.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Can you still sign up for, or when's the deadline to sign up for the North Los Angeles County special?
I think it just passed, but I think you know somebody who can make an exception.
I feel very uncomfortable.
Let me know. I mean, send me an email and I'll pass it on to Judy. Okay, thanks.
Director Armitage, if it helps, I double book myself for that, and I'm going to have to back out so she can have my spot because I have to go to the Urban Water Institute conference. So I was negligent in keeping my calendar updated. So, Director Cooper.
I'm all done. Director report?
Okay. Any other director reports? Very good. Any public comment on whatever we just talked about?
There is not. But President right. Martin, did we cover items 8 and 9? I don't think we did.
Did we pass 8 and 9?
I think we might have.
Oh, we did. You're right, April. Where's on my script? Okay, can you rewind the tape, please? Well,
yes, absolutely.
We just finished Mr. Stone's report. We're moving on to item 8. Committee meeting recap reports for informational purposes only. There were 3 reports included in your packet. Are there any public comments from the item 8 committee meeting recap reports?
There is not.
Very good. Any comments or questions from the board? Sorry about that, guys. Okay, we move on to item 9, written reports for informational purposes only. There were 4 reports included in your packet, as well as committee planning calendars. Are there any public comments on the item 9 items?
There is not.
Very good. Any questions from the board? Oh, we have a couple. Vice President Ozahowski.
We still do have time, and I would like to celebrate small victories. If you turn to page 333, the finance team is moving their P-card arrangement with U.S. Bank and Oracle, which would increase the rebates amount to $18,000 as opposed to current to $2,000. It's one of those small efficiencies that might not be visible due to maybe some extensive grants and loans being achieved by the department, but certainly, you know, appreciate these small wins. So thank you, Finance Department, for doing this. Back to you, President Martin.
Very good. Director Armitage.
Thank you. I just have a few very brief comments that I wanted to make as well on the Finance Administration and Information Technology Services report. I was happy to read the comment that staff is going to work with the IT department to configure an additional queue and customer service center that would be dedicated to Spanish-only callers. And I thought that was fantastic to see that we're going to be able to offer that service to our Spanish-speaking customers. So thank you for sharing that. And then the other thing was, I was just excited to see the additional interns being brought on board. I always appreciate that collaborative effort to bring the interns on. Did you want to say something about that before?
I just one thing when you're done.
Okay. For the treatment, distribution, and operations maintenance report, I did a little happy dance that there was no recordable incidents under the safety report for the month of December. So that's always nice to see. And then lastly, in the water resources outreach section report, I was glad to see that you're bringing back the lunch and learn sessions for staff. I know staff really like those. And additionally, you're providing them in a hybrid format, which I think is great because that gives flexibility to staff too in attending those. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
And just real quick, another one of those small victories that we received after the packet went out was the agency received the budget award from CSMFO, the California Society of Municipal Officers, for our biennial budget. So that's still waiting for GFOA, but we did receive one award so far.
All right. Any other questions on the item 9 written reports? Seeing none, we will skip items 10. We've already done it. We will skip item 11. We've already done it. We can skip item 12. We've already done it. We will go right into closed session. We will now be going into closed session. The public may stay on the Zoom webinar. Any board members or staff that are connected to Zoom and are in closed session, please. Director reports what? We had. All right. Continue on. We will meet in closed session to discuss item 13.1. Members of the public and any staff may stay on the current line. And once closed session is over, the board will reconnect to Zoom webinar for closed session announcements and the remaining items on the agenda. We are now in closed session. Brief recess while we sit on.